Today, we are going to be starting a little topical, not really. It's in line with our teaching. We're going through the book of 1 John together. We started last week, and we went through 1 through 3, and today we're going to look at verse 4, and only verse 4, because there's a lot to look at here in verse 4, as you will see today. When Jesus first came to this earth, skeptics couldn't believe Jesus was God. Then, as we saw with the Gnostics last week, they couldn't believe that he was a man. And now, there are all kinds of crazy stories about Jesus. Like, as we saw last week, Jesus is a created being and the spirit brother of Satan, Mormonism. And Jesus was Michael, the archangel, who became a man, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, this is what happens, you guys, when man tries to lean on their own understanding. The Bible declares, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your, what? Own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. And continues. Verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It isn't that difficult. Just trust in the Lord, you guys, and hear the teaching, the clear teaching of the Word of God. That's it. There's no need to think up and add some new theology or new philosophy to suit your own ideals and desires. Yet, that is exactly what has happened, and is exactly what the Bible said would happen. In 2 Timothy, Paul says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. You see? And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables, fairy tales, once upon a time, right? Paul also said that there are some who would trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, he said, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. The Apostle John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what? Truth. You see? And as we saw last week in 1 John 1 through 3, the Apostle John had declared the truth concerning Jesus Christ by declaring him to be the Word of life, the incarnation of the Word, incarnation, that is, God in the flesh. You see? And now, in 1 John, chapter 1, verse 4, and these things we write to you that your, what? Joy may be full. Let's pray. Father, as we get ready to dig into your word, we ask that you would open our hearts, just open our minds, and speak to us, Father. Bring us understanding today. Be with Yumi as she translates. Bless her, Father, with the translation and the sign. Please, Father, we commit this time to you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Here we go. Now, I want to give you an acronym that will help set the stage for really the rest of the book of 1 John as we go through it together. J. O. Y. I'll tell you what they are in a minute, but we're going to start with the first one. J is Jesus. Jesus. Putting Jesus first. You have to start with J, the spell joy, right? And you have to start with Jesus if you want joy in your life. Jesus is the first step to having real joy in your life. Now think about it. Would you be truly happy, Valentine's Day coming up, tomorrow, Dishel? Would you be truly happy if the person you loved was not really who you thought they were? Everything they told you about themselves was a lie. They gave you nothing but empty promises. If they only pretended, they only pretended to love you, they would be lying. It would eventually bring deep sorrow, pain, heartache when you found out the truth. And that is why truth is so important in every relationship. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he also said, amen. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So knowing the truth about Jesus is vital in having a long-lasting, loving relationship with him. No different than with anyone else, you see. How are we to know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ? By talking to him in prayer. By listening to him through his word. By hanging around with him, right? Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. In the midst of us. With our hearts being filled with his love and pouring out to one another. That's the love of God. And Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. You see? And pleasures forevermore. Knowing who Jesus really is and putting him first is the beginning of having real joy in your life. You need to know the truth. So next is O, and it stands for others. Others. 1 John 1:4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Right? Well, John got this from somebody. Notice Jesus spoke in a similar manner in John 15:11. These things, Jesus said, I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Sounds pretty familiar, right? Now, we're going to look at chapter 15. We're not going anywhere. I want you to know this is all in context, but we flip so you can't tell. But this is all in context. So verse 11 here, that your joy may be full. Now, these things, what things, Jesus? Verse 10, let's back up a verse, two. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abiding in love. Obeying with love. Notice, if you keep my commandments, if you keep my commandments. John 15:12, now the very next verse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see? In context. What were the greatest commandments given by the Father? I know everyone in here knows this. Okay, Nihongo. So, Jesus answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And notice what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Notice, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. But notice this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This was Jesus' mindset. Jesus. Others. And finally, yourself. Last, at the bottom. This is where true, real joy is found. Yet, it's the toughest. This is the hardest one because it is our sinful nature to be self-centered. It's all about us. We have to look out for number one, being me. And we're taught that's an expression in America. Gotta look out for number one. But in Christianity, you're last. Sorry. I've heard it said once that some people bring joy wherever they go. My wife, Amy. She brings joy wherever she goes. Everybody always smiles when they see her. Little Minnie-chan, she sees, Amy, Amy. She smiles, she sees me, she goes, And she just seems to bring joy wherever she goes. Here are people that bring joy wherever they go. And some people bring joy whenever they go. Sorry, thought that was funny. It's 조또 조단, okay? But not really. Not really. Seriously, which one is true of you or of me? Sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, I don't bring joy wherever I go. I bring joy when I go. When things aren't going right. We all struggle with this. Every one of us. Those who love Jesus, though, those who are putting Him first, and others second, and themselves last, like the order we saw, who care for others, who are living for others, who are always trying to help others, are usually a blessing, a joy to others, you see? But if you want to be alone, and if you want to be miserable the rest of your life, that's easy. Simply focus on yourself. Very easy. Focus on yourself. I want this. I need that. I don't like this. I don't want that. This happened to me. He did this to me. She said that about me. What about me? No one understands me. No one cares about me. No one wants to listen to me. No one wants to be my friend. Can you blame them? Can you blame them for not wanting to be your friend? Now, this self-centered person said this about themselves. Now get ready, because that was a heavy little statement, and I need to tell you a joke now to lighten it up. So get ready for the... This is American humor now. I know Nihonjin don't understand very much American humor, but I'm going to try. Jodan. One self-centered person said, I'm tired of talking about myself. What do you think about me? Okay, well, at least I got a few laughs. Last night I bombed out. But anyways, moving on. It is in our sinful nature to be self-centered. And when we are, we could find ourselves so miserable that we don't even like ourselves. Now listen, I am not suggesting that we shouldn't share our struggles with one another. We should. We should. Let people know. Be encouraged. Be prayed for. Absolutely. In fact, Amy and I are in the back every Sunday after service waiting to pray for anybody and to encourage anybody that would have a need. Okay? So don't misunderstand me. But when all you ever talk about is yourself, day after day, week after week, month after month, oh boy. The things that are going wrong, right? And there's something wrong. I have to break the news to you today. There's something wrong because the Bible tells us, count it all, what? Joy! When you fall into various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. It's part of our process. We need to trust that the Lord is going to work it all out for good. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You see? And this promise gives us joy in the midst of pain. Jesus gave us a key to help keep things in the right perspective. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. We all know this. Deny yourself. Your desires. Your will. Even those problems and those issues. Pick up your cross means to lay down your life as Jesus did for who? For me, for you, and for others, you see? It wasn't for himself. It means we must die to self. The longer I follow the Lord, you guys, the more I realize that it isn't about myself. It isn't about me. It's about giving of myself. That's what it means to be a Christian. For whoever desires to save his life, Jesus said, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. If you deny yourself, put others before yourself, and die to yourself, you'll find real meaning, purpose, and joy in your life. Now, I'm saying all this because I've experienced it. A few years ago, I was on a train in Tokyo, and an older man, Nihonjin, came up to me, and he spoke a little English, and that happens very often. They're curious why I'm here. I'm kind of weird looking. As we started to talk, I found out that he test drove cars for a living, and he wrote about them in magazines. He had sent his daughter to Italy to study opera. Wow. And it sounded as if he was doing very well financially. He definitely had a cool job. I would like his job. Now, when he asked me what I was doing in Japan, I told him that I was here to give. I was here to give. I explained to him that I used to be a high school teacher back in California, and how I had everything I always wanted. I had a lot of stuff. But I was missing the one thing I needed, you see. And that was Jesus Christ. I told him how empty my life was before I believed in Jesus. It was empty. I explained that my whole life was all about getting for myself. Yet the more I got, the more empty I felt, and the more unhappy I became. It wasn't until I became a Christian and started to give rather than receive that I found real joy, real purpose, and real meaning in my life. So, what I've learned, I explained to the gentleman, is that the more I gained for myself, the emptier I was. Whereas, the more I gave of myself, the more I received. In response, the man was getting off the train and said, "You're a lucky man. You can be too. Except Jesus." Listen, everybody, do you want to be full of joy? Be a joy to others. In Acts 20:35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed in the Greek literally means, oh, how happy. So Jesus first, others second, finally, yourself last, right? Now, what exactly is biblical joy? And we want to take a moment to talk about this. Very important. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, defined by joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, etc. The joy of the Lord is a gift. It's a gift. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And that is why King David cried out, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." David had lost something due to his unconfessed sin. David used to write beautiful poetry. David used to dance around in his underwear. I'm not going to demonstrate for you. It had broken, though, his fellowship with God. His sin had broken his fellowship with God, and he couldn't get it back in and of himself. And he was a miserable, miserable man without the joy of the Lord. So David said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. The joy of the Spirit is the fruit of God's love. You know something. Whenever someone asks me, in English that is, I haven't figured out how to say it in Nihongo, but when someone asks me in English, how are you doing? I will always reply, some of you have heard it, a lot better than I deserve. Now think about this. What do we all deserve? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So with that scripture, aren't all of us doing a lot better than we deserve? Those of us who believe in Jesus and are saved from our sins, set free from the ball and chain that would have us tied down and imprisoned. It's a good way to remind ourselves that no matter how seemingly bad things are going in your life or my life, they are going a lot better than what we deserve, you see. You see, when we are conscious of the depth of God's love for us, then we can experience joy in the midst of whatever we're going through. It's all a matter of perspective. Mikata. Perspective. Have you ever seen a couple in love? Well, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I'm sure you will see some people tomorrow that are in love, right? And if you happen to see me and Amy tomorrow, then you will see us in love. Maybe you'll see us later. It could be perhaps the coldest day of the year. But for this couple in love, walking hand in hand, love, right? You'll likely hear them say, oh, what a beautiful day. Oh, it's so wonderful. Everybody's, oh, that's Samui, that's Samui. But they're, oh, it's a wonderful day. The joy they experience from love transforms their whole perspective, you see? Now understand, biblical joy is different than happiness. Joy is a spiritual gift received by faith. Okay? Now, happiness is emotional based upon circumstance. It's emotionally based upon circumstance. 状況. Circumstances. Have you ever watched a movie that made you laugh and cry? Who has watched a movie that has made you laugh and cry? There have been times where I have laughed and I was crying all at the same time. Just like that. Laughing and crying. Amy does it all the time. It's really funny. I keep picking on Amy. Why? Because our emotions are so fickle. They're like a roller coaster. We're happy, we're sad. We're happy, we're sad, right? Genki, mama. Pachiri, mama. Genki. Up and down. We're feeling good. We're feeling bad. We're feeling good. We're feeling bad. Up and down. All depending upon what? Circumstances. 状況. Now, almost a year ago, I'm going to tell you a story. Amy found that the school she used to teach at back in the United States had a lawsuit filed against it. And some teachers claimed that they were not getting paid for these mandatory meetings that they were having at lunchtime. So there's a mandatory meeting at lunchtime. Lunchtimes are off time, and they weren't paying them for that meeting, you see? So that's the problem. So she was sent this form to fill out, and she did. And it was a form on the claim to be part of this lawsuit. And we mailed it back, and then we didn't really think about it after that at all. That was like 9 months ago, okay? Or longer now. Well, this last Christmas, as some of you know, we went back home to the United States, and we picked up 9 months worth of mail. We had completely forgotten about the whole lawsuit. So we were sitting there with some friends, and Amy was opening up the mail, and most of it was junk mail, as you could imagine. But then she screams, "Oh my God, oh my God, baby, look, look." "What, Nani?" "What is it?" She hands me this paper, and sure enough, there was a check for a large sum of money. $100 is a lot for us, but it was a large sum of money. I'm not going to tell you how much. It was just a lot. So much that I couldn't believe it. It was her settlement check from the lawsuit. We couldn't believe it. It was really an official check. I was looking at it. It was real. I thought it was fake. And we were so happy. Netcha itotemo. So happy. We were so happy. As Amy and I just celebrated. Woo, yeah, we got that check. Well, all of a sudden our friend took the check and says, "Chotto matte. Wait a minute. This check is void." "Eh? You had to cash it by October 31st. It was December 31st. We immediately looked at the check. He wasn't joking. Jodan Janai. He wasn't joking. We were so sad. Shabon, shabon, shabon. Happy, sad, shabon. Isn't that a lot like our lives? But you see, the joy of the Lord is something entirely different. It isn't dependent upon circumstances or big checks. Joy is a spiritual gift received freely by faith. By faith we receive joy in the midst of trials, in the midst of pain, in the midst of uncertainty. Several years ago, I'll give you another story, little stories today, my mother was having headaches and was forgetting many things. And she went to the doctors and they found out that she had a massive tumor growing in her head. I was told that she had to have surgery and the odds were against her. They were not favorable. There was a strong possibility she would have brain damage if she even survived. Now, Amy can tell you, I'm a mama's boy. Now, this is Eikaiwa for all the Nihongo speakers. Eikaiwa. Mama's boy. Okay? It's slang for someone who really, really, really loves his mama. Okay? Now, minasan, mama's boy. Se no. Okay, you need to learn that. Aaron's a mama's boy. And when I was told about this, immediately, tears began to swell up in my eyes as I was about to totally lose control and begin to cry over the thought, just the thought, of losing my mother. And some of you already know. But all of a sudden, the Lord began to speak to me. He said, "Joseph," as if he was putting his hand on my shoulder, "Joseph, do you trust me?" Now, this is all happening really fast. In a split second. And I said, "Yes, Lord. You know I trust you. I've given you my life." And he said, "Do you trust me with your mother?" Oh. Sigh. That's a tough one. Trusting God with your life is one thing. But trusting Him with your loved one's life is totally different. It's a total different level of faith that I was experiencing. The Lord continued to speak to me. He said, "Joseph, do you believe that I can heal your mother?" I said, "Yes, Lord. You can do anything. I believe you can heal her. I trust you. I trust you." And immediately, this all happened. The tears dried up, and I was filled with joy. The joy of the Lord. Later on, my mother was being operated on in the hospital. And my family and I were in the waiting room, and my family members were scared, and they were crying. But God had given me a total peace that surpassed all understanding. Another fruit of the Spirit. Something God gives us. "But be anxious for nothing," Paul says, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding." The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. How could I have a peace in this situation where my mom's being operated on? But the peace of God is a gift. And it will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. As the old bumper sticker said, "No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace." Now, was I happy when my mother was suffering in surgery? No way. Of course not. No one wants to see their loved ones suffer. But did I have joy? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the peace that God gave me resulted in a joy in my spirit. Because I had faith that God was going to heal my mother. I had faith. I believed it. Either temporarily or eternally with the Lord. Where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away. Then John continues to write, "He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true.'" And they're faithful, you see. And as Paul said, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For I am hard pressed, he said again, between two places, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, far better. This is our hope in trials, in the midst of pain, in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of death itself. You see? Just like all of the martyred saints of old, and even to this day, with joy. This is the joy of our salvation. It's all about perspective, you see? Perspective. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Seek to help others. Die to yourself. And perhaps your trial is the very thing that will help others get through what God wants to help you get through. And once you go through it, there's going to be someone hurting that God's going to put in your path that you can say, I know how you feel. So many people say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I went through. Jesus does. You're not alone. And if you did go through it, well, God lets you go through it for a reason. Here's probably someone else out there hurting. But because all you can think about is yourself, you would never know how God would want to use you to help that person. Because you won't let him help you. If you'd only let him help you, you would find so much joy. Don't let the trials of life rob you of your joy that God wants to give you. Instead, trust the Lord. Count them all joy, those trials. Don't be depressed. Don't be depressed. Be impressed. Be impressed with the love, the grace, the hope, and the joy that God has for you and for me. Be impressed. Let's pray. Oh, Father, there's nothing to be depressed about. Lord, you know why we're going through what we're going. And you've allowed these things to happen for a reason. And Father, we trust you. And Lord, we believe, but help us with our unbelief. Fill us with your joy, we pray. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Father, help us. Help us. Put these things into perspective. Oh Lord, you first, others second, us last. This life has nothing to do with us. It's all about you, God. How we can serve you. And in return, you want to fill us with joy inexpressible. Oh Lord, I ask for your blessings upon us today. And if you're hurting today, and you're having trouble getting over whatever it is that's holding you back from the joy that God wants to give you, then just give it up to God today and say, Lord, I surrender this to you. I trust you with it. Let your will be done. And if you need prayer today, please come see either myself or Amy. or one of the brothers and sisters here, that you may receive prayer and be encouraged today in the Lord. May God bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Arigatou gozaimasu.